Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've spoken a lot around the information that is coming out around the security agencies and the most shocking and appalling looting that was going on there. But by nature, these segments of government are dark and shady, and there isn't much information that has come out or that generally is disclosed about this. So I've asked CEO at IRS Forensic Investigations, Chad Thomas, to speak to us and explain to us how this works and what has really gone on there. Chad, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Howard, I'm sure. I think like the rest of the HFM family, a little bit of shock today, not a little bit of shock, an immense amount of shock. So before we start the interview, obviously I just want to send my thoughts and condolences to the family of Flo and to everybody in studio this morning. Really, really, really sad news during a really, terrible, really sad time.
Terrible. Terrible. And, of course, what we're trying to do here is just balance, programming with trying to deal with the shock of that. It's just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. As you say, such tragic times, so many of these incidences and death around us that it's just, there's just no words. I don't think there are just no words for it.
It's a very sad morning for us. Yeah.
All right, let's try, as if at all possible, and talk about something that the rest of the country has been talking about, and that, of course, is the state security agencies.
So I have to start with a caveat. If anybody's read the book by Anton Harbor, so for the record, there's a chapter relating specifically to me as Chad Thomas and the relationship that I've had over the years with the media, and specifically in regards to the special operations units of the state security agency and any influence that I may have had in respect of articles or dossiers that was written. So this is a subject that's obviously exceptionally close to my heart. It's a subject that's been whispered about since 2014. And there's been various blogs that have been posted about the Special Operations Unit, about the PAN network, which was a parallel network within the State Security Agency, the different DGs and the super DGs that were appointed at SSA. So I think to start off, I think people need to just understand what the SSA is. The State Security Agency is a super agency. In other words, it has a super DG, not just a normal DG. And the reason why it has a super DG is it's a combination of two previous departments. The one department was the South African Secret Service, which was responsible for collection of foreign intelligence. And the other was the National Intelligence Agency, which was responsible for the collection of domestic intelligence. The South African Secret Service was run at a stage by Mo Sheikh, and the National Intelligence Agency at the stage was run by Billy Masekler and later by Gibson and JJ. They then kept DGs, but they amalgamated both under one agency, the super agency, the SSA, which is housed at a place referred to colloquially as the farm in Irene, just outside Pretoria. And to put it into perspective, the role of the SSA is like the CIA. It's like Mossad. It's like MI5, MI6, Homeland Security, and the National Security Agency all rolled into one. So it's really a very, very powerful organization. Mm-hmm.
Which, as you say, is consistent with how many of these institutions or organizations are run around the world.
100%. And one of the things that's come out that's very startling is monies that have been paid to organizations that are linked to media houses, and there's now this huge question mark, why was this money paid across to certain media houses? And they actually spoke specifically about budget 2015-2016 within the SSA being allocated of between 20 and 25 million for this particular project. that in the greater scheme of things is not a lot of money. There would have been many other projects that had taken place over the years, but one must understand that it's a civilian agency. It's not like the South African Defense Intelligence Agency, which is made up of the old military intelligence and chief of staff intelligence. It's not like the Israeli Shin Bet. It's a civilian intelligence agency that answers to the president. It answers to the government of the day, but of course they take an oath to South Africa to serve the country, to serve the constitution. But people seem to forget that the person that represents government, that represents the country, is the president at that stage. So they ultimately serve their commander in chief as well, much the same as their military aligned counterparts would do. So it's very interesting because one of the projects that you'll always see within a domestic intelligence agency and a foreign intelligence agency is to infiltrate and influence the media. And that's to ensure that the narrative that the government wants to play is out there. It's to try counter any negative agenda or any negative narrative, try highlight the positives of that particular government, and conversely to also spin anything negative that comes out. And like you mentioned in the introduction, it's a very dark world. It's a very secretive world. It's a very misunderstood world.
So what went wrong?
What went wrong in respect of all of our intelligence agencies in South Africa. So one must understand the SSA is the super agency. It's a civilian agency that answers to DG, super DG, minister, president, and is responsible for the collection of domestic and foreign intelligence. Military intelligence, now known as DIA, is specifically for conventional warfare, to know what our threat situation is on our borders, etc. And then, of course, you have crime intelligence, which is a component of SAPS, which is responsible for investigating organized crime, high-profile crimes, and a thing called CATS, which stands for Crimes Against the State. So these agencies, somehow or another, weren't doing the infiltrating and the influencing, but they themselves were infiltrated by nefarious actors. And what went wrong is that they weren't doing what their mandate called for. If one has to listen to the testimony that's coming out, or one has to read the various reports that are coming out, but instead of doing what was required of them in terms of their legislative mandate, they were rather trying to quell opposition to the government of the day, as well as the factionalized groupings within the ruling party, and therein lies a massive, massive problem.
So it's an interesting way of looking at it, because the way in which it kind of turns it completely around for me, because the way in which I looked at it was by nature it was rotten. What you're saying is it is that they were formed under normal circumstances with all the right goals, but they were infiltrated by bad actors, which included, or appears to certainly have included, the president at the time.
They kept bad actors from the previous regime as well. One must remember that the very first structured intelligence agency in South Africa, separate to that of the security branch and the police, was created by General Hendrik van den Berg in the 70s, known as BOS, Bureau of State Security. The Bureau of State Security morphed into what became NIST, the National Intelligence Service, and then became the NIA, the National Intelligence Agency, which then merged with the South African Secret Service to become the SSA. So there's a lot of historical issues that need to be looked at here. BOS was part and parcel of the info scandal with regards to the establishment of a newspaper in the 1970s to try and draw English-speaking white South Africans to vote National Party. And they were involved in a lot of shenanigans, which is why BOS was basically disbanded, and NIST was then formed, the National Intelligence Service. NIST did a lot of good work. Neil Barnard, who headed it up, was one of the very first people to initiate meetings with Mandela and other ANC leaders that were either imprisoned or exiled. And he became part of the transformation process from the National Intelligence Service to the NIA during the 94 period, and stayed on for a short while thereafter. But other actors within that realm have stayed on, and spies, you know, where there's a change in God, spies understand that they were spying against each other. There's a handshake and they carry on working. And what you found is that the NIA, which morphed later into the SSA, became this amalgamation of ex-apartheid spies, ex-MK spies, ex-UPLA spies, ex-military spies. And they still had their agents in place. They still had their sources and their assets in place, and they still played them. What people tend to forget, however, is that when our president assumed office at that stage, the former president, Jacob Zuma, he came from an intelligence background. He headed up the intelligence component within MK. He was part of the Operation Vula structures. So you have a man that is from the shadows now assuming control of the country, and he's going to keep those assets in play because he wants to know what's going on. He wants to know who are threats to him. And there was a specific cabal that were playing towards the president's paranoia. And in doing so, they gave him the opportunity to create this parallel system to approve funding. And this is a massive problem that needs to be discussed, is that within the police, we have crime intelligence. They have a secret fund. And within the state security agency, there's a secret fund. And because it relates to state security or highly, highly sensitive, we could even say top secret projects, the Auditor General couldn't access the actual books. He would have to give a qualified audit without actually being able to go through the documentation, the financial standing of the respective organizations. And this, of course, led to the plunder of these funds and the use of these funds for things that aren't related to their role and their mandate as an agency for South Africa. They became a organization that was manipulated into doing things to try and maintain a status quo and to try keep a very paranoid quasi-dictator in power.
So there was effectively no oversight. We see that that funds were being used to influence the public through various publications. We see money being siphoned off allegedly, going directly to the president. What do you think if you look at it, do you think we've seen the magnitude of it, or is this just the tip of the iceberg?
Well, a lot of this still needs to be tested. A lot of it is still allegations.
Mm, of course.
There's very big question marks that are hanging over the different funds. We've seen what happened with the Crime Intelligence Fund. We've seen General Solly Lazarus, who was the Chief Financial Officer for Crime Intelligence, being convicted of fraud and receiving a custodial sentence. General Mdluli was part of that. He will also be charged. So parallel to that, you've got the civilian agency that's also got an immense amount of money and has been accused of using this money to buy votes at Mangaung, to try buy votes at Nasrec. We don't know whether they were already trying to influence what happened in Polokwane, which was blood on the dance floor for sure. That's what everybody will remember between Mbeki and Zuma, that brought Zuma back into power. So the greatest concern for everybody right now is that when one looks at what the role is of our intelligence agency and what the role that it is alleged has been played by the agency are polar opposites. And what these agencies should have been doing was protecting the people of South Africa. They should have been protecting our interests. They should have been protecting our sovereignty. But instead, they were being used to settle political differences, to fund quasi-political infighting, and to keep, like I mentioned earlier, a very paranoid person in power.
I have a constant argument with a friend of mine that says, who says he thinks that the Zondo Commission and all of this is terrible, because what it does is it shows the magnitude of the corruption, or some of it, or alleged corruption, but not a lot follows from it. So therefore, all it does is just show us how bad it was and might still be, but doesn't fix it. What is your thought on that? Do you think that by exposing this, it ultimately will be fixed?
The president changed the terms of reference in respect of the members of the Zondo Commission's future employment once the commission ends. Sadly, the commission will be ending very soon unless they get an extension from the High Court. And not much has been ventilated, in my opinion. A lot of allegations have been made, but not much has been ventilated. And much like the TRC, it's almost like there's a cleansing process, but there's nothing afterwards. In this scenario, it's different. You'll see that Advocate Batoyi and Advocate Cronier, Advocate Batoyi as head of the MPA, Advocate Cronier as head of the Investigative Directorate, have had members present who have been part and parcel of the investigative process, taking notes, watching what's happening. And in terms of the reference in terms of the legislative framework of the employment of members of the commission, It was changed last year by President Ramaphosa that the people who have been actively engaged in working for the commission can now be employed within the MPA structures and within the investigative directorate structures. And that sends a very, very clear message.
Absolutely.
It's saying that these people have been involved in finding witnesses, finding evidence relating to state capture for the Zondo Commission. And yes, we're going to take it further by keeping these people, capacitating them and transferring them into a state prosecutorial unit. So we're definitely going to see something come out of this commission.
Yep, very, very interesting and very important as well. I think the more light that is shone on all of these things, the better. Chad Thomas, thank you for as always, speaking to us. You can listen to what's a full hour on Monday, am I right, of your show?
Full hour Monday, 12 to 1. We normally chat to people who are involved in the world of law enforcement, politics, the media, and intelligence, much the same as what we spoke about today. And hopefully by Monday, we'll all be feeling a little less shocked by the events of this morning. And I must apologize for earlier. And thank you so much for being able to chat to me about this. It was a bit of a distraction. And again, my sincere condolences to everybody at Chai FM.
Absolutely. Likewise. Time is 8:53. That's Chad Thomas. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.